I'm not sure how many people have seen one of these. It's called a Christingle. And I have made myself, or made last night, a Christingle. And hopefully it will stay. And hopefully I'll be able to light this candle. Now you can clap. In case you don't know the history of this particular symbol, Christmas symbol, it originated in Germany way back in 1747. And the pastor of this Moravian church in Germany gave each child, as they left this service, a candle with a red ribbon around it. And the Moravian church was known for its mission work, and they spread right throughout the world. And in particular, they moved to England in the late 1700s. And the idea of a Christingle took off in England. And instead of just a candle with a red ribbon around it, it became an orange with a red ribbon around the orange and four sticks. And let me just explain the meaning of each of these symbols, starting with the orange. The orange represents a sphere, of course, and it represents the world in which Jesus came over 2,000 years ago. The red ribbon represents the fact that Jesus shed his blood for us. And there's a verse that I'd like us to read in 1 John 1. Verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from every sin." So the red ribbon around the outside, as you can see, represents the fact that Jesus not only came as a babe at Bethlehem, but lived for some 30-odd years and then, of course, was crucified on the cross. Not for himself, but for us. His blood was shed for us. The four sticks of fruit, well, they're supposed to be fruit, but I couldn't get small pieces of fruit that would fit on a, what do we call them? A little stick? Toothpick. Couldn't get four pieces of fruit that would fit on these toothpicks. So I've got little jubes, and the children, if they'd like after the service, can come and help themselves to these jubes. In fact, I've got a whole lot more down by my seat, and the children can help themselves. I know there's no morning tea this morning, so they may enjoy having some of these jubes. The four sticks represent the four seasons of the world and the fact that God's plentiful supply provides us with everything we need during those four seasons. And lastly, the candle. The candle, of course, represents Jesus. It represents Jesus as the light of the world. And I want to speak a little bit more about the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. And there's a lovely verse. There's a lovely verse in Isaiah 9. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." Those of you who read the newsletter that came out yesterday, Andrew put a piece there about light, about Jesus being the light of the world. And this verse in Isaiah 9 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us," and then it goes on, "for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called," and so on. So, what does it mean when we say that Jesus is the light of the world? Now, some people in the Middle Ages thought that Jesus being the light of the world, including Raphael, thought that Jesus being the light of the world meant that he actually glowed. As you can see from this painting, Mary and Joseph, and I think maybe some shepherds or some other people, and Jesus is sort of, how can I put it, sort of emitting a light. Well, that's not what Jesus being the light of the world means. Jesus being the light of the world, first of all, means that when he came as the light of the world, he dispels darkness. Because the first thing about light is that light dispels darkness. Now, I was reminded during the week, I was talking to Bev Lang about a book that I'd read that talked about the rescue of those, I think it was 11 or 12 Thai teenagers in the cave in northern Thailand. And we were talking about the fact that when the first SEAL arrived, the Navy SEAL from Thailand arrived, the first thing they gave them was a torch. Now, they'd been without light for some time. They had torches, of course, to go in through the caves, but the torches had run out. They may have had mobile phones, but the mobile phones had run out. And they were in pitch darkness for a number of days. And the thing that this Navy SEAL gave them was a torch, because living in an absolute darkness must be terrible. I don't know whether anyone of you have ever been down into a cave way below the ground. We went and saw some caves in northern Tasmania many years ago. And you get way down there, and then they turn all the lights off. And the darkness is palpable. You can't see your hand this far in front of you. It is absolutely pitch dark. And this verse that I read in Isaiah 9 says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. I don't know about you, but the older I live, the more I think our world is becoming darker and darker, and the more our world needs Jesus as the light of the world. So light, first of all, dispels darkness. And here's a verse that comes from John 8, a famous verse in John chapter 8, where Jesus is speaking to them during the time of the tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So when we talk about Jesus as being the light of the world, we're saying that he is the light of the world in the sense that he can dispel the darkness in our own lives. None of us can say that we have a life that is completely open, or we'd like to be completely open to everyone. We all have darkness, and we need Jesus as the light of the world to drive out that darkness. And there's a nice quote from Martin Luther King. He says, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So we all have darkness in our lives. We all have the sin that we inherited way from Adam, way back. And Jesus, as the light of the world, is the only one who can dispel that darkness. The second thing about light is that it creates life. If the whole world was like nighttime and there was no light during the day, nothing would live. No plants would live, nothing would live. So light not only dispels darkness, but light creates life. And there's a lovely verse in John 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. There's that word again, darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He came into a world that is described in this verse as darkness. And as I say, the more I live, the more I think this world is becoming darker and darker, and the more it needs Jesus. And then, of course, we have the challenge that we are supposed to be the light of the world. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. So not only is Jesus the light of the world, but we are also, Jesus describes us as the light of the world, which is a challenge. How do we reflect God in our daily lives? How do we reflect Jesus? Well, it's a bit like the moon. The sun is like Jesus. That's an analogy of Jesus being the sun, and we're like the moon. We're supposed to reflect the sun into a dark world. And it says in Matthew 5, as I said, you are the light of the world, and Jesus goes on in verse 16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And of course, therein lies a tremendous challenge. If Jesus is the light of the world, and he describes us also as the light of the world, are we living in such a way that we reflect him? When we go out into this dark world, do we see ourselves, or does people see us as reflecting Jesus? As I said, the moon reflects the sunlight in the night into the darkness. I don't know whether any of you have ever been right out into the country on a beautiful full moon. You can almost see as much as you can in broad daylight. And yet the moon has no light of its own. The moon is just simply reflecting the light of the sun into the darkness. That's the challenge for us as we go out into the world today, that we might reflect the light of the world, who is Jesus. Let us pray. Loving God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the fact that you sent your Son Jesus to be a light in a dark world. You sent your Son to show us what you are like, and you leave us with the challenge, Lord, to reflect Jesus to an ever-darkening world. Be with us, we pray, as we go out this day. May we reflect Jesus in our conversations and in all that we do. We ask it in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.